Hi, I'm Howard Dayton. Well, what God promises in His Word to do for the honest and the dishonest, you won't want to miss this.
We'll be talking about blessings and curses today. And just one moment. Hi, I'm Steve Moore. Also coming up, why do husbands and wives disagree so often about finances? We'll get a humorous explanation from an expert on marriage. Mark Gunger is here. Plus, we'll talk one-on-one with people just like you who are on the journey to true financial freedom. Thanks for joining us on Money Matters Weekend from Crown Financial Ministries. Well, let's start out talking about honesty and look at some of the specific things that the Bible promises will happen to the honest and to the dishonest. And Howard, there are both blessings and curses.
There sure are, Steve. And to be honest with you, before I met Christ as my Savior, before I learned what God said about handling money, I was a dishonest person all the time. It was relentless. But once I learned what God said about money, it became clear that this is really on His heart. There are literally hundreds of verses dealing with honesty and dishonesty in the Bible. And there are curses and there are blessings, depending upon which side of the fence you fall on.
All right. Well, I think both of us fall on the blessing side.
That's right.
So. Let's talk about that side. What do we know and what promises do we see about blessings?
Well, in Proverbs 3, verse 32, it says, "The crooked are an abomination to the Lord, but He is intimate with the upright." So, a more intimate relationship flows as a blessing to us. Another blessing is blessings on the family. I love what Proverbs 20, verse 7 tells us. "A righteous man who walks in his integrity," listen to this, "how blessed are his sons after him." Then there's the blessing of life. "Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment." And then there's the blessing of prosperity. Proverbs 15, verse 6, "Great wealth is in the house of the righteous, but the trouble is the income of the wicked." So lots of cool blessings for those who are honest. Mm.
You know, Howard, as I look at those, an intimate relationship with Christ, blessings on your family, on your life, and on your prosperity. And when you lump all those things together, to me what comes to mind is peace of mind, and who can place a value on
that? That's exactly right.
Okay, well, now let's take a look at what the Bible says will happen to those who are dishonest.
Yeah, there's the curses. One curse is alienation from God. Proverbs 3, verse 32, "The crooked are an abomination to the Lord." I'm not sure exactly what abomination means, but I don't want to be an abomination to the Lord. Then there's the curse on the family. Proverbs 15, verse 27 tells us, "He who profits illicitly," in other words, dishonestly, "troubles his own house." Then there's the curse of death. "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue," listen to this, "is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death." And lastly, the curse of poverty. Proverbs 13:11, "Wealth obtained by fraud dwindles." And Steve, we need to be serious. We need to recognize there are blessings for the honest, and unfortunately, there are curses for those who are intentionally, regularly dishonest.
And you know, Howard, whether you're honest or dishonest, that's not something you necessarily do, but it really is something you are, and what changed your heart was Jesus Christ.
That's right, Steve.
You're listening to Money Matters, your host, Howard Dayton. We'll be right back after this.
Academic Films presents How to Budget Your Money. When you cash your hard-earned paycheck, take the cash and separate it into paper envelopes, one for each spending category, one envelope for food, one for gasoline, one for the rent, and so on.
It would be nice if you could still use all cash and paper envelopes to budget. You'd always know how much was left in each category just by looking in the envelope. But nowadays, your life's a little too complicated for that. You may spend using cash, checks, credit cards, and automatic bank drafts all in the same day. That's why today you have Crown Envelopes online. Envelopes pulls in your transactions from your credit card and bank accounts daily so you can easily separate them into the right spending categories. With just a click of your mouse, Crown Envelopes helps you avoid overspending. And since it's online, you can access it from the office, from home, or anywhere. Stay in control of your money with Crown Envelopes. Right now, you can try it free for a full month. Just visit crown.org.
Not able to catch Money Matters on the radio each day? Listen online or via podcast. Details on the web at crown.org.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Howard Dayton along with Steve Moore. And I did mention this a week or so ago, but I just want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to hear my heart on this. that by the end of March, I'm going to be transitioning from the role of host of this program. I'm still going to be completely involved with Crown, but have been really sensing for some time that the Lord's calling me to invest more of my time on writing, doing some more videos for the ministry. Chuck Bentley, our new CEO, is going to serve in the role that I have been serving in. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to tell you how deeply grateful I am for the privilege of having talked to so many of you over the last almost 4 years now, to read so many of your Hey Howard emails that you've sent the ministry. And I'm going to miss you. I'm still going to be on the radio from time to time, but I won't be in this seat regularly every single day. And Steve, it's been an emotional thing. I know it's the right thing to do, but it's been emotionally difficult. And I'm just praying that the Lord will continue to bless every one of our listeners.
Well, I know the Lord's going to give you additional ministry opportunities to distract you from the fact that you won't be here each day. You already mentioned you've got a new book coming out and perhaps some new DVDs, lots of travel.
That's right.
And Bev will be happy to have you around the house a bit
more. Well, she will, yes.
Or maybe not. Let's begin by going to Flowery Branch, Georgia, WRAF. We welcome Sue.
Sue, just right down the road from us. Yeah. What's on your heart today, Sue?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Yeah. What is your question?
Oh, okay. My question, well, actually, I'm just going to say thanks for your ministry. Really appreciate that, and thanks for your call.
Thank you.
For taking my call.
Thank you very much.
Our problem here is, unfortunately, our 24-year-old son, not a very good money manager. And actually, just brief history real quick, actually a couple, 3 years ago, we had to take his truck from him for non-payment because
yes.
we had consigned for him. And we have tried and tried and tried to talk to him, you know, let us help in this and the other. And the situation got where actually now my mom and dad had gotten involved and co-signed with him a vehicle a year ago. And they did it without asking us and asking us how we felt about it. About a month ago, they called and said they were going to have to take the car from him for his non-payment, but wanted us to take over payments more or less or pay off the vehicle for him and let him pay us. But because of his history, and we know what we would be up against again with this,
yes.
We could not put ourselves in that situation.
Yeah, totally.
So we're caught between a situation where our son, who is not being responsible, but my parents, and I know I need to honor them, but it's kind of like a tough love for our son and a tough love for my parents.
So yes.
Kind of like, how do I handle this?
Well,
we can get very emotional.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. You've got a lot of moving parts. Well, let me focus first on your son, if I could, Sue.
Sure.
From my perspective, the key is to continue to unconditionally love your son in the hopes that the Lord, when he changes your son's heart and starts to build responsibility into his life, you know, he'll be free to come back to you. And,
right.
and that relationship won't be damaged. And I would, it sounds like there'll be limited opportunities, but when the Lord does open up opportunities, I would continue to share wisdom with him, teach him how to be financially responsible. But I would allow him to experience the consequences of his decisions without bailing him out.
Okay.
You know, the consequences will be his best teachers, and the Lord will arrange consequences. So that, you know, he's Lord willing, I'd continue to pray that the Lord would soften his heart, give him a teachable heart, but, you know, allow him to experience the consequences, whether it's, you know, his credit report being trashed, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just don't bail him out.
Okay.
Because at the
okay.
end of the day, what you want is, you know, a son whose heart is open, pliable, teachable, and one that's going to make good decisions. It's the best thing you can do for his long term.
Okay.
With respect to your parents, are they having any difficulty because of the
yeah,
co-signing?
It got to the point, actually, because they're both retired. And I guess they felt in their heart, because it's their grandson, that they felt like, well, we'll help him out. You know, he
yeah.
needs a little help.
Well,
guidance.
Here's what I would do, Sue. If your son's grandparents are willing for the for your son to experience the law of consequences and lose the truck, have it go back. You know, I would certainly help your grandparents at that point, you know, once the truck is back. But I would not help your son again, and I would get a commitment on their part that they would not help your son, you know, until your son really starts to make progress and be teachable, work hard, and that sort of thing.
And Howard, help us with that. How do we allow our children to suffer consequences without our children getting upset with us and maintaining that line of communication?
They may get upset to an extent, Steve, and that's where you try to maintain communication and unconditional love and affection toward the children. But you tell them clearly, you know, I'm not going to help you. I've done A, B, and C until I see you get a full-time job and, you know, do A, B, and C. Just make it real clear, but stick by your guns.
Sue, we know this is hard, but Howard is a parent. I'm a parent. We've both been there, and we will be praying with you guys. We appreciate your call. Thanks very much. And Howard, do you want to wade in with any word of advice about parents who are considering co-signing?
Yeah, just don't do it. Proverbs 17:18 tells us, you know, don't co-sign for another's note, become responsible for his debts. It is poor judgment to do so. And in the original language, Steve, in the original Hebrew, it means destitute of mind. So it's kind of a dumb thing to do. Please just don't do it.
El Paso, Texas, KELP. Mary, welcome to Money Matters.
Hi.
Hey.
I could really use your help this day with respect to receipts. My husband and I have receipts everywhere, credit, debit, cash. And what is the best way to process them?
Okay. Here's what I'd recommend, Mary. First of all, I would eliminate the debit card. Again,
okay,
just to make things simpler, just use your credit card, which you pay off every month,
okay,
and cash.
Okay.
And then here's what I would do in terms of the receipts. Is one of you a better bookkeeper than the other?
Yes, in a way I am. I'm a little more organized, but he's been taking care of that, the whole cash side or the whole budget side for the last maybe year and a half or two.
All right. Well, what I would ask him is, you know, why don't you let me take care of the bookkeeping side? We can meet once a week, review what's happened to our financial situation, pray over our finances, and then celebrate when we make progress. And then in terms of the receipt, what I would do is, you know, obviously I would keep every receipt for every credit card,
okay,
time you use it. And here's really the key in what Bev and I found really works. I'd go ahead and it only takes about 5 minutes, but I would make my entries daily. So every
where do you make them daily? Because we're in different places all the time. Do you like keep a notebook right in your wallet, right by the door?
No.
Right at the desk?
In terms of the credit cards, what I do is I just keep the receipt.
Okay.
And then I enter the receipt under the proper category. Now, is your husband on the road in his business?
A lot, yes.
All right. Well, just have him accumulate the receipts. Then when he comes home, you enter them. But
okay,
but if you enter them consistently, it really doesn't take more than 5 minutes a day to do it.
Right.
Now, with cash, I would do one of two things. You can either keep the receipt for every cash purchase, or go ahead and just carry a little little spiral notebook with you.
Okay.
And every time you spend a penny, jot it down.
Okay.
So that, again, on a daily basis or whenever your husband comes home, you can keep track of your spending. And it's really important to keep track of that spending. That's the only way you can really stay on top of your spending plan.
That's right. We're both seeing the need for that, and which is why I called. That really does help. It sounds so simple.
Well, it is. It is.
Yeah.
It's when we let these things pile up and the job looks overwhelming,
right,
that it becomes more onerous for us. And I don't know if you're using a good budgeting software program, but we've got one which we'd be delighted to send you, MoneyMap Financial Software,
okay,
which essentially is an electronic system of using envelopes.
Okay.
And it's just very, very effective.
And Mary, we also have an online system that really does a lot of this for you and keeps you from having to worry about all those little pieces of paper. It's called Crown Envelopes. And I'll tell you what, let us have you talk with one of our producers off the air, because there's a 30-day free trial with that. That's online versus the software version. We'll talk to you about the pros and cons, and we'll hook you up with whatever works best for you guys, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much,
Mary,
for your time.
Oh, I appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Now, Howard, you recommend it in this situation that they get rid of the debit card, keep the credit card, but you're not against debit cards.
No, but just for simplicity's sake, when you're dealing with a lot of different moving parts and receipts and don't have your arms around it, then it's not a bad idea to simplify.
And when both people are using a debit card and withdrawing money on a regular basis and not telling one another, it gets kind of weird.
It does. I mean, for Bev and me, we said, let's not go that route. Let's just use credit cards, which we pay off. We don't really use as credit cards, but just a means of electronic payment.
1-800-525-7000, our number, out to Springfield, Missouri. Tim, how can we help you today?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. What's rattling around in your brain today, Tim?
Well, this is kind of an interesting question. I don't know how often you get a question like this, but it's about network marketing.
Yes.
I've been in about three of these companies, and this third one is, I'm just really trying to pursue it, and I really want to go about it the best way I can, the most godly way. I want to honor the Lord, and I'm just looking for some wisdom from some godly people.
In terms of the selection of the company or how you build your business, or tell me a little bit more.
Well, how I would build the business, because, you know, obviously you got, you know, the network marketing plan, which is two people gets two people gets two people.
Right.
And eventually you build this big downline. So I just, you know, I've seen a lot of hyperbole and exaggerations in the business, you know, people saying that you'll make truckloads of money if you...
That's right, and with little effort.
Right.
Well, let me, first of all, just briefly give you an overview. There are great multi-level marketing companies, and there are rotten ones. And what I would be looking for in any multi-level business that I'm looking at would be this, that number one, the product or service would be a really good one. Number two, that the company is known for its integrity. And number three, that they don't push getting rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many harmful and foolish desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. So, because in my experience, a lot of the multi-level marketing folks, you know, push people for the yachts, the second home, and all this sort of thing, and really, I would stay away from that totally. In terms of building the business, I would be looking for those types of people who are people of integrity, that have the ability to sell, because as you know, it's a business that requires sales and marketing, a lot of hard work. I would be looking for those people who really truly believe that the service or product is good for people. You know, just maintain integrity, work hard, and pray for the Lord to bring the right people in your path.
And Tim, this is a question that we get quite often, and generally we get in trouble whenever we talk about it. We think there are many great multi-level marketing companies out there, but there are some bad ones that Howard mentioned. The only other thing that I'd mention is, keep it out of church if that's possible. You know, no one likes to be harangued or grabbed by the elbow in or on their way out of church. And that may be where most of your friends are, but doing it right there in the facility can be a little off-putting sometimes. Which
sure can, Steve, absolutely.
And Tim, we wish you well. We appreciate your ambition and hope that works out well for you. Well, coming up, how often the differences between men and women are at fault when couples struggle over finances. We'll talk about that with our marriage expert, Mark Gunger, when Money Matters returns.
My name is Emily, and my husband and I are working on Destination 2, which is to pay off all credit card debt and save 1 month living expenses for emergencies.
The Crown Money Map shows you the 7 steps, or destinations, to true financial freedom.
We have about $1,500 in credit cards left to pay off, and then we can increase our savings.
Steps like paying off credit card debt, starting an emergency fund or a college fund for the kids. Now that all sounds great, but how do you do it? While the Crown Money Map shows you which step to take next, now there's a book that will show you how. Your Money Map, the new book by Howard Dayton. This guide will help you to reach each destination on the Crown Money Map and eventually true financial freedom.
It's a great feeling when you reach the next destination and you can see the progress that you've been making.
To order your copy of Your Money Map by Howard Dayton in hardcover or in audio form, call 800-722-1976.
Glad that you're able to stay tuned with us today on Money Matters Weekend from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Howard Dayton along with Steve Moore. Well, we're joined now by Mark Gunger, who's the senior pastor of a great church, Bayside Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I've been there. He teaches a dynamite seminar nationally called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And we're hoping to bring some of his humor into our discussion today about why husbands and wives so often fight over finances. And Mark, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You tell folks there's no such thing as the perfect marriage, that all marriages have some kind of trouble. How often are finances involved in marital problems?
They get involved, I think, quite a bit. Whether or not it's causative or a symptom, that's up to some debate. I tend to think a lot of times it has to do with more of a symptom. But
what would be some of the causative parts in a marriage problem?
Causative is just plain ignorance, not knowing how to handle finances. You know, not that anybody's really having a problem in the relationship, but it's creating tension because they just don't know how to do it. The sad thing today is a lot of us, we don't have a very good financial background. Our parents weren't very good at it, and they certainly weren't very good at teaching us. And Lord knows our culture isn't very good at teaching, you know.
No, well, they're good at teaching, but it's the wrong stuff.
Yeah, you know, spend like crazy.
That's
buy
right.
Buy now. You know, it gets all kinds of trouble. So,
I know you love to use the analogy that men's brains are made up of little boxes. Women's brains are like balls of wire. What in the world do you mean by that?
Well, men tend to compartmentalize. Hmm. And whereas women seem to tie everything together. So whereas, let's take the problem of finances. Let's say a couple's having a problem in finances. The guy might think, well, it's just this area. It might be just this one area we're not handling well. Where she's viewing it, say, no, it's all connected. It's connected to this, and the way we're planning for this, and the way we're dealing with these issues and stuff. A lot of times guys will begin to resent their wives making all the connections because he wants to keep it in a box. Now, who's more right? The reality is probably somewhere in between.
That's interesting. And some of those things that she's connected to are really relational things between them, aren't they?
Absolutely. And he may not be seeing that. He might think, no, the problem is just that, the refrigerator broke and we weren't planning on that.
Yes.
He's saying, no, that's not the problem. We're not planning and you're not talking to me and we're not communicating. We get ourselves in trouble.
What should husbands do to communicate more effectively with their wives? And then conversely, what should wives do?
Talk to them, I guess, just number one. And then the reason I say I guess, one of the problems that we have in marriage culture today is we tend to beat up on men for not being women. Now, that we don't talk enough, we don't share enough. And I go, I don't know about that. We're men. God made us the way that we are. So I think we should do the best that we can. But a woman shouldn't just sit around and resent her husband for not being a woman, is my point. So he might have a harder time communicating. It's okay. Pull it out of him. Talk it through. Don't get mad at each other. We're just different.
We are definitely different. Hey, Mark, I really, really appreciate your taking your time to be with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Mark Gunger, senior pastor of Bayside Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And if you'd like to know more about his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar, just visit our website, crown.org, and click on Money Matters, and we'll have a link there for you. One thing most husbands and wives can't agree on is the need to prepare their family for emergencies. And we have a resource that can help you do just that. It's called the Set Your House in Order software. It's a brand new computer software program that allows you to electronically store, update and retrieve all of your critical personal information, things you may be going through right now as you do your taxes, bank accounts, loan information, medical records, PIN numbers, which I'm always losing, email accounts, username and password information, all that material that you so often just can't put your fingers on. This will help you organize and keep all your estate documents in one secure location. For more information about Set Your House in Order, visit crown.org or call 800-7 1-800-522-1976. Thanks for listening today to Money Matters Weekend from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Howard Dayton. Sure hope you can join us again next time as together we take another step on the journey to true financial freedom.